Hello everybody! Welcome to Zanzana Livestreams Interviews. I have a pleasure tonight to have with me Marianas Rest. We're gonna speak about this. Marianas Rest, Fata Morgana, the new album that get out tomorrow. Hi!
Hello! Hello! Glad to be here.
Hi, Jaco. Hi, Nico. Thank you for this interview. It's a pleasure having you with us tonight. First thing I have to say, please excuse my English. Sometimes I'm going to check my words and find some words, but I did it from the beginning. Excuse my English.
Yeah, you have to excuse us too. We have the same kind of problems most of the time.
Okay, so this is it. Tomorrow it's out. It's released, Fata Morgana. The feeling, 24 hours. No, not 24 hours. How many? 4 hours before the release.
Well, this is always. I think we are kind of nervous, hopeful too. It's been a long trip. We started making this album about a year and a half ago, probably.
Yeah, that's when we really started doing it. I think the first demos and all those things were done. That we started doing them pretty much straight after Ruins, but I think it was year and a half ago when we really started digging into it.
Yeah, and it's always kind of scary to kind of how it turns out, how people are going to welcome it and what the turnout is going to be. A big effort, and now it's all kind of coming to a conclusion.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's 4 video clips that went out from this album, 3 or 4. The fact is, when you read the comments are very positive.
Yeah, they have been, surprisingly so. But yeah, it has been mostly positive.
Yeah, we are really glad how things have gone so far. Yeah. But knowing who we are, we can always kind of fuck up the whole thing. There are still time.
Yeah, tell me, you went and read the comments on the clips. There's hundreds of comments.
Yeah, we've read. I think some. Yeah, it's kind of hard to read all the things that people say about your own stuff. I personally. It's hard for me. It's scary. I just want to live in my own bubble where everything is kind of peachy and nice and kind of if people don't like it, it's really hard. But yeah, the comments have been really good, which of course warms the heart. Yeah.
So, the album, who's here? Who's here? Because everyone who can ask, can comment on this YouTube channel. David Aubin. Hi there. Hi, David. Adriana Jakubikova. Hello, guys. David, the comments are positive because your work is awesome, guys.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks.
Some more pressure, some more stress. The album. The album is here. Fata Morgana. And I was thinking, I didn't know what about Fata Morgana, so I went to Wikipedia. And I saw on Wikipedia this, Fata Morgana, an optical phenomenon. And Fata Morgana is the sorceress, Morgan, Morgan the Fay of Arthur legend. you were about you chose the name about the optical phenomenon and about the legend of King Arthur.
Yeah, it's the optical phenomenon. The connection with the legend of King Arthur kind of came as a surprise to me also and to us also. We didn't think about it really. It's an illusion that can be caused by extreme temperatures, and in our case, cold. The kind of the main character, he's been in the cold of the world so long, he's become numb and doesn't know his place anymore. And that's where it comes from. He kind of, along the way, he realizes that his kind of thinking and his view of the world, how he sees things, has been affected by the cold, so that his vision has become distorted, and the things he sees, the things he thinks are real, they never have been real, and that has affected his whole life. So that's our version of Fata Morgana.
Yeah, it could be the same for us, you know, because you have the extreme cold in Finland. I am in Tunisia, and you know, there's a desert, and here is the extreme hot.
So, yeah, but doesn't desert get very cold in the night too?
Very, very cold. I went in the desert 3 days ago, and I can tell you that it's very, very cold at night, yeah. So, there are places that's named Fata Morgana. So in Netherlands, it's an amusement park ride. So the Phantom Island in the Arctic that you know, an art photography school in Copenhagen in Denmark, and a 15th century building near Florence in Italy.
I think the amusement park ride is quite roller
okay.
coaster.
Yeah, and there was films that named Fata Morgana, 1965 by Vincente Aranda, in 1971 by Werner Herzog, very big director. In 2007, Fata Morgana by Simon Gross. Fata Morgana, it's a game show in a Belgian, it's a Belgian game show. And there's in Sanctuary an episode in 2008 whose name Fata Morgana. That's it.
Yeah, maybe we have to make our own giant production film too someday.
maybe. And look at this, the books that come Fata Morgana from the 1902. There's a novel by Mikhail Okopeski, André Castellane, André Breton, a poem of André Breton. It's a very big poet in France. Nikos Kavadias. Voilà, this is it. Okay, and other uses, the house in Fata Morgana in 2012, a video game.
Well, we thought we were being original. Nice try, boys.
Yeah, guess again.
Yeah. Maybe next time.
Other thing about Fata Morgana, for people who don't know what it is, I went, you know, on YouTube, and I was looking about the, you know, the Fata Morgana thing, and here it is, the Fata Morgana thing. It's a sail ghost, so it's. Something is it the thing that you can you saw this once in your life?
Yeah. Well, I've never seen this kind of like visual illusion, but yeah. That's it. I think the Flying Dutchman legend has also this kind of. That's where it comes from too.
Yeah. That is, so this is Fata Morgana, it's the name, and you know, they say that you can find it in the Arctic, but you can find it even in Sicily. In Sicily, yeah. Between Sicily and Italy, a place, and it needs to have islands. Okay, this is for the geolocalization and the geographical thing about Fata Morgana. So now we know what it is, Fata Morgana. So, is your album about illusion?
Yeah, it's an illusion. The way you, well, it's easy to kind of the way things are in the world today to see people who are kind of illusioned. They have some sort of distortion in their view, and it can be caused by a lot of things. But I think one of the things can be that you spend too much time on your own, alone, in isolation with your thoughts, and that kind of skews how you see the world. And yeah, so that's the kind of the thing we were looking at, aiming at, the how the main character, the narrator of the story, has kind of lost his way due to this sort of illusion.
Yeah, the narrator of the story, you know, I was driving and listening another time for your album, and you're not singing, you're telling a story, you're a narrator, you're not a rapper, you're this a peculiar way of singing, and someone who's telling a story, this is it, a narrator. Now, are you a singer or a narrator?
Well, I definitely am not a singer, a growler maybe, but I think I don't mind if someone thinks that I'm a narrator. That's what we tell stories, which have, of course, they have they come from real life. They are not kind of made up stories, but yeah, that's the way we look at it. And when we, for example, when we are on stage, the way I see it, it's not a kind of, we don't just play songs. We try to kind of have it some sort of theatrical element to it.
I think it's more of a performance than playing through the songs.
Yeah, the story of the whole thing throughout all these three albums we made. I think it's a pretty important thing for us to kind of have some strict concept of what we are doing. Otherwise, would be all over the place.
Yeah, but in fact, it's brilliant because, first thing I was thinking before making the interview, that it's going to be very hard for me for making this interview because I'm very... doom metal addict, melodic death metal addict. You know, I really like this genre. So when I listen to the album, I think, oh, what marvelous. So the fact is that the songs that are in this this album, it's an atmosphere. It's like going on a film, and that's why the narrator thing, it's very important, because it's like someone who's telling a story to you, you know, like you're imagining a story and listening to the music. It's a narrator with the music that helps the story.
Yeah, and the kind of... the atmosphere, I think that's the most the biggest thing for us.
I mean, it's hard. People usually ask questions on how do we categorize our music or whatever, what genre do we represent. But I think that's not really relevant in our case. I think the atmosphere is what we drive for, and whatever helps to make it happen, we'll do it, rather than try to stay true to something like melodic death metal or doom or whatever. We do whatever the song needs or whatever it takes.
Yeah, one day I might start rapping.
Oh no.
why not?
Yeah.
David Dubin say hi. He said pre-order it already. Oh, yeah,
thank you. That's the way to go.
Jana says Kangestus. I think this is Finnish.
Yeah. Kyllä, Jana. Jana. Yeah, Kangestus is it's illusion in.
Or a mirage.
Or a mirage, yeah, mirage.
Okay. Adriana, if you were about to make a movie, what it would be about?
Oh, shit. probably about six guys making a whole lot of mistakes in their lives.
Autobiography.
Yeah.
A guidebook on how to make bad judgments.
David Oben, what kind of musical influences do you have?
Well, we are a kind of a mixed pot where everybody brings their own. We listen to very different kind of stuff. Of course, everybody has their own metal influences there. Well, this is one or the...
Yeah,
one of them sentenced for me is a very important thing, kind of the nihilism that seeps through their stuff, and the black humor, and well, the great music also, and the way they kind of evolved throughout their whole careers. They just made the kind of stuff they liked at the time. So I think that's pretty great thing.
Yeah. And I think, as you know, what we try to do as a band, of course, bands like Paradise Lost and, well, I think My Dying Bride is a pretty good. I personally do enjoy also a lot of Alice in Chains stuff. I think that is pretty dark and atmospheric stuff also. And well, and then all sorts of music from black metal to pop music. I think I listen to, or we probably as a band listen to a lot of stuff from all the genres. A
lot of 80s pop rock. Roxette, for example.
Yeah,
a great band.
You know, talking about the 80s, I was thinking that maybe you could be a fan, I don't know if you are, but of bands like The Mission, like Cure, like Little Big Sixie and Benches, you know, all this gothic pop music, rock music stuff of the 80s, Cold Wave.
Well, yeah, I don't know whether I'm such a huge consumer, but I do listen to that kind of stuff also.
Yeah. The Depeche Mode kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Jana Karpinen, Fata Morgana is my favorite one from the album. It's awesome, painful story.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good if the pain kind of feels in it. because that's kind of the driving fuel we try to vent all the... Everybody has their kind of their dark side, and everybody has hard time in life at some point or other, and that's kind of our ventilation system, to have a band where we can kind of put all that stuff into, so it doesn't get into our everyday normal life as much.
Yeah,
and that's a good way, because it's really fun to do this kind of stuff together. You think that we'd be all gloomy and sad, but it's the other way around. It's kind of we celebrate the dark side of life together.
Yeah.
David Ovin say my pleasure, guys. thanks for answering from Adriana. Paradise Lost and My Dying Bride are one of my favorites. And there's Schiller Piel, hello from Poland. Again, since the sacrificial starts with the true detective, What do you think about the third season of this show? And what do you think about this Colin Farrell boredom?
I think the third season was again a better one. The second season was
different.
It was different. I didn't like it that much.
Yeah, it kind of lost the most important elements of the things that make the first season so good. It was too straightforward, and the main characters didn't have the dimensions as in the first season. It wasn't that dark, even though I think it was more violent.
Yeah,
yeah. And the third season is again turned for the better.
Yeah. Fata Morgana, Marina's Rest, was speaking about the atmosphere. That's very particular in your music, that when we hear it, we can hear all the instruments. It's not condensed, you know. We hear the drums. I really like the bass. The bass is very omnipresent in the music. The guitars are here, and they are not making. They are very, how I say it, sophisticated, I think, because it's not. It's not a Guitar Hero thing, you know. It's here to bring the atmosphere with arpeggio and things like this, and the voice, and the narrator. So, is this style from the beginning when you met the band? Was it from? This direction, this way of making music, was it here in the beginning when you began, you know, a long time ago?
No. Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing when we started this. We didn't have a clue. The first album, I think, and the days before that, it was just kind of fumbling around in the dark.
Yeah, shooting in the dark, definitely. But on the other hand, when we started to realize what kind of stuff works for us, I think it was after the second album. And before this one, I think that was the point when we kind of knew what we should do. what is the thing for us? So
yeah,
before that, I think we were just trying a lot of different things.
Yeah, and of course it helps a lot that we've had the same guy producing all the albums, Teemu Aalto. We've kind of figured out this thing together, and it was an important thing to have. We have tried to make every album to have this sort of air to it, even though it has to be heavy, it has to be kind of oppressive, it has to also have room to breathe, so it won't kind of be too sludgy or anything like that. But I think on this one we really kind of found the right way to do it, and yeah, so I agree with you that's what we were aiming at, to have this room to breathe as well, because the music is kind of, it's, you have to have room to breathe. The songs are so kind of overwhelming, can be at times. So you need a breather now and then.
Yeah. What are the role of your producer? Because you bring the recording, the demos, and did he? His role was to help you to have that sound, or to make lesser but better?
Both, I think.
Both, yeah. I think, he's kind of the seventh member. Sorry, seventh member of the band. And I think he kind of focuses usually the thing. I mean, we tend to do a lot of stuff, and some of it is probably not as good as something else. So, well, I think his role is more to kind of focus the stuff towards the goal. I think so.
Yeah, and the only goal is kind of to have the dense atmosphere. Yeah. To have a good atmosphere. And on this one, we kind of knew from the start that we need to have less. In a way, we need to have more less hits, for example, less double bass, and try to bring the heaviness other ways. And but on the other hand, we have more of different kind of guitar things. We have the Lindsey Schoolcraft singing and that sort of stuff. So at the same time, we had to have less and more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. He kind of like he if we go the wrong way or are thinking about it, he kind of calls the herd. He brings us back to where we should be. So very, yeah. Very important element.
He's a guide.
yeah.
About the evolution of the band, obviously all of the six members have evolved in this long journey. But you, Jaco, tell me about you, your singing, your growling. How do you make it evolve?
Well, that's a hard question. I don't really analyze my doings that much. I think you can hear from I've become better as we have went along. That's for sure. You can hear it when you listen to the first album. I've never been that kind of into the technical element. Of course, I try to become better, but I don't really learn. I learn by doing, so to speak. And on this album and overall, we try to, we don't kind of think if I'm growling or screaming or whatever. We just try to find the right feel to each part of the songs and to have the whatever brings the most kind of the best emotion that fits with the music. That's what we're kind of trying to do. And well, Teemu Aalto is important thing for that also. He kind of knows what I can do, what I can't do. And then he just tries to kind of, we try to find together the right pieces for each track. But yeah, I think on this one this was the best take for us so far.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm finding it after 8 years.
How did you find your voice? How did you find your style?
Well, I started in the turn of the century to do this kind of stuff. I had never been in a band before that. A friend of mine lured me into one of his band projects, and we did this kind of hardcore metal kind of stuff, and I just started to scream as loud as I could, and now it was actually pretty hard to kind of start doing this kind of stuff, because here the main thing is not to scream as loud as you can, but actually the other way around. The deep sounds are not that loud. It's more about the technique and where the sound comes from. So I had a lot of difficulties in the start to kind of try to build my thing new. But now I'm getting the hang of it. It's just try to make it come from the belly and not from the throat.
Yeah. Henry, your music video are awesome, world class. How much work does it make videos like this?
Well, it takes a lot of work. On the Glow from the Edge video, we had a pretty big production crew, actually.
Yeah, I think we had there was dozen of people, I think.
Yeah,
on the set. But I think on that video the production was pretty much done for us.
Yeah,
we just showed up and had a few beers and walked in front of the camera a couple of times. that was it. All thanks to the crew who made that video happen.
Yeah, they are the core crew that made the video. My sister and my brother, and Lassi, my sister's significant other. They kind of handled all the stuff. We just handed the song to them and the. Album covers or the album cover art, and they just went their own way and tried to figure out how this song looked from their perspective, and we gave them the room to make the kind of video they wanted, and it was kind of scary because we had no idea how it would look like, but now when we know how it turned out, well, glad we had the confidence in them. Yeah.
Another question. I wrote to you a little bit of, in fact, I considered them a little bit poetic words behind some of your Facebook publication with my nickname, David Reversed. I hope you've liked them.
Yeah, thanks, David. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yana Poppleman, where's my five virtual son? Two shirts coming, still waiting.
I really have to have a word with the postal office here. I have sent you, I think, five packages already. None of them have arrived. Weird thing.
Yeah. You have to bring it by yourself next time.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah. I'll have to take a trip to North Finland.
What kind of bands did you play before Mariana's Rest? Same style or something different maybe? How Mariana's style came to be?
I played a very different kinds. I played this more traditional metal style. You played the hardcore stuff.
Yeah.
But I think, well, this kind of music is something that I always wanted to play. So once we got this band going, I mean, this was first thought out just to be a therapy project, just to have some fun and a few beers and play a bit of music. But Once we had the first album done and it turned out to be quite a lot of better than we thought, that's when we started to really, really concentrate on this band.
Yeah, and it has kind of like evolved on its own. Maybe we just have kind of sharpened our focus along the way, even really without really thinking about it. Maybe it's a subconscious thing,
but
I think now we start to realize what we should sound like and what we can do, and what this band is about. It's not an easy thing because there are like millions of bands in the world to kind of find your own place when you start to sound like there's something maybe unique in there. And I don't know if our band has that sort of stuff yet, but maybe someday. And I think that, well, we have our own sound at least. That's for sure.
Another question. Can you tell us the main idea of creating Glow from the Age video? How did you've been in touch with the actors?
The actors actually, they were hired by the production crew.
Yeah.
And the main character, I think he came along pretty late in the project. We didn't really know how he would do, how could he handle that sort of stuff, because it's not an, even though it might look easy, it's not easy to do the kind of stuff he does on the video, to have kind of the right look in his eyes, to have that to kind of feel the pain he's going through, but he pulled it off great, very well. Couldn't kind of hope for more. The female actor, actually, we've done stuff with her in the past.
Yeah, she was on the Restitution video also.
Yeah. She's a dancer, so he knows how to move on the set. So that's why she was kind of the first pick straight away.
Yeah. So this album comes out tomorrow, Fata Morgana. And the question is, I understood in previous interviews, there's a continuity of the first, the second, and the third album, this album. A continuity in the theme. There's a hero singing and telling his story. So is it or I'm totally wrong? I didn't understand anything.
Yeah, you are correct.
I'm correct.
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay, so does the tale comes before the music? Does the lyrics and the thing that you're going to tell in this album, does the lyrics and the tale is written before writing the music?
No. The music or demos come first, because you kind of, the lyrics have to go with the music, and you just try to kind of build on the songs to have it all go together as well as possible. Well, after the first record, we knew straight away that this is going to continue on the second album. But after the second album, we had no such plans. And I had a kind of writer's block. I didn't know what the boys made demos, and we listened to them together and jammed them in the on the training rounds. And well, nothing came out of my pen for a long time, and I started to discuss it with the guys to this heart, but somewhere along the way it just came clear that the story that began on the first record continued on the second, it wasn't over yet, and we had to kind of have a conclusion the story. So that's how it kind of, so it wasn't a conscious
decision on the first record that we would make a trilogy. It just kind of sort of happened along the way. Yeah.
Yeah. And just a question. Tell me about your logo that you see in here. What does it represent?
I'm not sure what it's supposed to represent. It was just an idea of this strange Russian guy living in our hometown. We asked him to design us a logo. I have no idea what he thought. The kind of the slice in the middle. I think that represents the deep. Yeah, deep kind of like the name originates from Mariana's Trench. And we wanted it to have kind of like this pressurized, deep, dark feel to it. So for me, at least, it represents the deep. And I remember one, I don't remember who he or she was, but mentioned that all these things on the logo that they look like ovaries. So, I can't say it's a wrong interpretation. Everybody gets to have their own view of it, but yeah, I can't look at the same way now that someone has told that it looks like that. And I really wouldn't be surprised if I heard that the ovaries were the original idea of the designer.
Yeah. Cheers to Philip if you're looking this. Strange or not.
But okay, maybe after you have to change the logo or make it evaluate, I don't know. Because you can look at the logo like this.
It's not the same anymore.
Yeah, that's
everything
it.
Has changed.
You broke the myth.
Yeah, this is what I talked about when I said that we could fuck this up. It's happening now.
Great. Okay. I understand that you're talking about. I have no.
Okay. Get a grip, man.
Too much. Kerim, try to be serious. So sorry. Just a thing. You're talking about isolation. Your hero is going somewhere and in the cold, he's alone with himself. He's thinking about what he messed up in his life, and he's alone. And the fact is that you wrote the lyrics before Corona, before all this lockdown. And there's another thing. I don't know that you if you heard the last Moonspell album. Or read about it.
Listen to
the album. The album is Hermitage, and it's like this. It's the same thing. The Hermitage. It's people that are alone in their house or with themselves, and they become like hermit. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? It's the 21st century illness now to be alone and with all this social media that can make you talk with all the people, but in fact you're alone with yourself.
Yeah. I think that's what can happen. On the first album, that was the original idea of the story, that although you are closer to all the people in the world, closer than ever, you can kind of get in touch with almost anybody. And still, many people have this hollow feeling. Everything has kind of changed. We don't have the kind of sort of tribes anymore. The meaning of having a family or close friends has kind of changed, because you don't have to be, you don't have to see them anymore, be in close contact with them. If you don't want to, you can be in contact another way. And it has to have an effect in the long run. It changes things. It can be a good thing, but it can also turn out to be a bad thing. And I'm sure it doesn't fit everybody. And now when we have this pandemic, and it's a weird thing that kind of the lyrics were written before it. Now it has kind of this new layer to them. I think a lot of people are struggling really hard because they can't have the same social contacts as they used to. For us, it's not that bad, because we are kind of miserable fuckers anyway. We are used to this kind of thing, but yeah, it has to have an effect, and just hope that people will get a chance to have the sort of normal contacts that they've grown used to as soon as possible, because it can be really taxing, really tolling mentally if you have to kind of if this sort of important thing is taken away from you.
Yeah. You know, it's like this. I am in Tunisia, you are in Finland. I am of a high, hot, you know, weather in summer, plus 50 degrees. It can come plus 45. And you are the hot, cold, minus 45. So, and you are talking with us, and you know, from different spaces and different continents. You're in Europe, I'm in North Africa. That's it. Yeah. And you're talking about metal and your music. It's something that
This is one of the good things of this.
The technology can short the distance, you know, that's it.
Yeah, and just how would this all be if we didn't have even the technology? Yeah. If you have to be locked in your own studio apartment without internet or this sort of thing, that would really suck.
Yeah, sometimes maybe it sucks because you're alone with your head, you're alone with yourself, and sometimes maybe you can think about it. And go to depression because where everything goes wrong, because you like your hero in your album, you're thinking, okay, I messed up in my life, and how I did it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a good thing to kind of now and then to go into your own head and think about the things, why you did that or why you did that, and what caused things to go this or that way. But if you get stuck in it too much, when you can't get rid of it, when you have to think all the time, think about and your actions and kind of monitor yourself to the max, then it can be turn into a, well, into a mental disease eventually. Yeah, but
yeah,
the line where does it go? Kind of, it's drawn in the water sometimes. I think most of us do it too much every now and then.
Okay, so already had a kind of favorite Ned band to support on a tour.
Favorite band to support on a tour. I'd like to support Paradise Lost because Sentenced is no longer available. Paradise Lost would be awesome. They have the same quality as Sentenced. They've always made what they want. the music has kind of evolved through the years, and I think now they probably sound better than ever.
Yeah, and I think it would make a pretty good combo, I'd say. And probably it would work even with bands like Solstafer or
Solstafer.
Yeah, or some of the Swedish bands I've heard, they're a bunch of fun people to hang around with.
Maybe Borknagar, no? Bands like this?
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
If you make a tour with Paradise Lost, you have to make a cover of a 80s song, you know, because Paradise Lost made Small Town Boy cover.
Yeah,
you know it.
Yeah, we have
fabulous.
Yeah, and they made a U2 cover, I think, as well. We've kind of thrown this kind of ideas too, but nothing too serious yet.
Yeah,
it's hard to kind of make a cover because you have to do it really well. You have to honor the old version and you have to give it your own touch at the same time, and that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, you have to.
The world is.
In fact, you have to break it. You know, you have to break it. You have to make something else with the same song. You know, that's it.
Yeah. The world is full of half-assed covers, so
yeah,
you don't want to end up on the top of that pile.
Yeah, we are on top of so many other piles. Too much is too much.
So, Harry, favorite movies or actors? You have a horroric theme in your image. Do you like horror movies?
I used to like them, but yes, it kind of. But nowadays, I don't watch them anymore. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because, it kind of world is kind of so. horrific place as it is, that you don't want to kind of have that stuff on your free time anymore. I don't know if that is what it is, but yeah, for some reason I don't watch them anymore.
I think for me the reason is that in the last few years I think it feels like they've run out of ideas. It's the same movie with different monsters, but I enjoy the older horror movies, some of them, but
yeah,
and I also like, if I have to narrow it down, the kind of movies that also that mess with religion. I like that kind of stuff. I like the old religious mythologies and all that. But yeah.
But to answer the question, I don't think it's that big thing for us.
Yeah.
We kind of the influences and the imagery comes from kind of more of the dark side of human nature on the whole, and maybe from the kind of scenery you get in our home country when the kind of at the right time of the year.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much for the time that you spent with us. It was a pleasure.
The pleasure was all ours.
Yeah.
Do you know Tunisia?
Yeah.
What do you know about Tunisia?
Well, I visited there once, but it was a long time ago. I think the place was called Port El Kantawi.
In Sousse.
I liked it a lot, though the time of the year was actually the sea was, and I didn't know that, but the sea was so cold that we didn't want to swim there, but but otherwise everything was perfection.
Do you know Tunisian bands?
No, can't say, can't name a single one. A gap in my kind of knowledge.
Okay, maybe you know Mirav. Mirav, carte gods. Okay, so I have to. Okay, so I have to know this one. You know, Omination. Try to find it in on YouTube. You know, Omination. Well, it's a doom. I say that it's a. Okay, this is an album. It's a doom metal, Tunisian doom metal band.
We promise to check it out after this. Yeah.
Look, it's easy. No, you are broadcasted at Zanzana, and you go to Zanzana channel on YouTube. There's a Tunisian playlist, Tunisian metal band playlist. Go and listen.
Yeah, we will do that. Next time we have a chat, we have all the info about the new Tunisian metal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a real
Thank
pleasure.
You. Thank you.
Great time with you tonight from David.
Thanks,
thank
David.
You. Thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Zanzana, l'émission métal.